Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Let's look together this morning, first of all, at the values of the world. The values as Peter understands them and what he has to say about them, the values that he would see in the world around him, but especially coming out of Rome. Secondly, let's look at the values he based his life upon. And thirdly, I trust some helpful applications. First of all, the values of the Roman world and what Peter has to teach about them. The first thing, one of the things that he is saying to us, I believe, is external appearances can be deceptive. External appearances can be deceptive. In verse 17, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially. Impartially is a good translation of the Greek word, but it is also the word, the Greek word, from which we get our word masks. We're all familiar with masks in the Halloween season. Now what Peter is saying is that God is not fooled by any spiritual masks we might put on. Peter is saying to us, and the Holy Spirit through Peter is saying, God is not misled by any spiritual makeup we try to put on. God is not affected just by our actions and reactions and something we try to project that's not reality in our minds and hearts and lives. Oh, he's looking on the outside. He's watching our words and our actions and our reactions. He always is. But he's divine. So he also always knows our mind, our heart. He always knows what motivates what we do and what we say and how we react. He always knows our aspirations. One day during Peter's quiet time, and what Peter hadn't learned from Bible study, what hadn't gotten through his thick skull in Bible study, God had to teach him in a vision. And during his siesta, he has a vision, and he sees in his vision God lowering a sheet from heaven. Now, Peter was usually an Orthodox Jew, so he followed the Old Testament kosher food rules. And that meant Peter didn't eat bacon. He didn't eat pork. He didn't eat a whole lot of, from the Old Testament, I'm going to call them creepy crawler reptile creatures. But the sheet is full of these kinds of animals, and God lowers the sheet, and Peter says, no, I can't eat. God says, eat. And he says, no, I know the kosher laws. I'm not going to do that. And God says, wait a minute. What I call clean, don't you dare call unclean. The second time, sheet comes down. God says, kill and eat. Peter says, no. God says, what I make clean, don't you call unclean. A third time, Peter says, no. God says, don't you dare call unclean what I have made clean. And he's just waking up from his siesta, and there's a on the door. And it's obviously Gentiles come to the door. Now the Orthodox Jew felt you did not associate with Gentiles. You didn't talk to them. You didn't talk with them. You didn't converse. You went to the other side of the street. You went to the other side of the road. You sure didn't converse with them. And you certainly did not invite them into your home, nor show hospitality, nor share a meal with them. They're Gentiles. Oh. God says, don't you dare call unclean what I have made clean. And they say to Peter, we want to learn about the Jesus that you know all about. Tell us about Jesus. And usually Jews would have slammed the door right in the face of Gentiles. But not this time. Peter learns that God is not a respecter of nationality, nor race, nor color of skin. Further, Peter teaches us that financial resources are perishable. Verse 18, the first part of the verse, it says, for you know it is not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you have been redeemed. You have been forgiven by God. Financial resources are perishable. We should be learning this with the stock market. The ups and downs of the stock market and financial portfolios reminds me always that in the end, my financial portfolio isn't going to keep me alive forever. I'm going to die and I'm going to answer to an impartial judge. Businesses struggle to keep enough staff. Savings evaporate quickly when we get to the gas pump or we fill the grocery cart with groceries. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, teaches us that gold and silver and investments and things have no eternal redemptive value. A good reminder to us in a day when our culture values money and wealth and the accumulation of things and possessions, the nicest of houses and cars and clothes and jewelry and electronic devices and toys. Financial resources are perishable. Further, we see that human beings are limited. In verse 24, the first part of the verse, it says, all people are like grass. Yes, Nero was the emperor. He had combined his authoritative dictatorship rule with bizarre brutality. Peter knew that because Peter said, Christ is Lord, and he would not say, Nero is Lord. He'd never say that. He'd climb the hill saying, Christ is Lord, not the emperor. And he knew that Nero could have a soldier put a spear or sword through his heart and separate his head from his shoulders instantaneously. He knew that. But to Peter, Nero was just a blade of grass. Putin, just a blade of grass. President Joe Biden, just a blade of grass. Past President Trump, Obama, just blades of grass. Kim Reynolds, Chuck Grassley, just blades of grass. Significant blades of grass, but just blades of grass. And further, Peter teaches us, as he looks at the values of Rome and the values of the culture around him, realizes that cultural glories are passing. In the last part of the 24th verse, we read, all their glories like the flowers of the field, the grass withers and the flowers fall. I noticed at the entrances of Westview Church this morning, there are no living flowers there. They're all covered with snow. And last fall, with the first frost, they died. It's as if Peter knew that not only would Nero die and the world would go on without him, it's like he knew the whole Roman culture would die and become only a relic. Amy and I have 5 grandchildren, we have 3 grandsons, and they enjoy exchanging, especially NFL football cards, some NBA cards, some baseball cards. And in one of those exchanges, one of them asked, Grandpa, what team did O.J. Simpson play for? And you know what? I couldn't remember. Now, that's saying something about my memory. But it is also saying something about how quickly cultural glory can pass. Already, we're saying, Kirby Puckett who? Michael Jordan who? Joe Montana who? Peggy Fleming who? Michael Phelps who? Lance Armstrong who? And it won't be very long, and we'll be saying, Kelce Brothers who? Rihanna who? LeBron James, who? Caitlin Clark, who? Now, these individuals have accomplished significant achievements, and they are to be commended. But Peter would say to all of us, if all you're living for is cultural glory, very quickly, probably sooner rather than later, you'll discover your life is empty and without purpose. Whoa, hard words for me. The Holy Spirit through Peter gives Carl a spiritual, but nudge in the ribs. Because quickly I loved the values of the world. And very quickly I can strive and drive and chase after the values of the world. Well, after Peter reveals the world's values for what they are, what are his values based on? Well, first of all, his life and his faith and his value, his death, his eternity, is based on a Savior who redeemed him and can redeem each and every one of us, can redeem every person living in the world today. He based his life on a Savior who redeemed us. In the middle of the 18th verse, the word is there, redeemed. It really means paid the ransom price for. Christ released Carl before God so I can experience God's forgiveness because Christ paid the price. He paid the penalty. He paid death on my behalf. He paid the price for Carl to be forgiven before God. Praise be to God. Fred, this is worth getting out of bed for. Praise be to God. Before Jesus, you and I are hostage to sin and guilt and shame and death and damnation and condemnation to hell. But Jesus paid the price. I don't have to die for my sin. Christ paid the price. Christ shed his life's blood for me, for you, for every person in the world today. Praise be to God. When I die, there will not be a standoff between Satan and God over Carl. The ransom's been paid. Christ paved the way. My future in death, my future in eternity is all taken care of through the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection. And secondly, Peter invites us to base our lives and faith and value system on God who raised Jesus from the dead and has a plan and will be ultimately victorious. Verse 21 again. Oh, through Jesus you believe in God. God raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. Why do we in our hurry, scurry schedules get all in a frenzy and all frazzled over externals and finances and cultural glory when instead we can base our lives on God who raised Jesus from the dead and will ultimately be victorious? God who created all things past, present, controls all things. Future will bring all things to his glorious conclusion. And this old earth, as we understand it, will be no more. Friends, let's put our hope and faith and meaning in life in God and God alone. He reigns. He'll bring all things to his glorious conclusion. I don't have to get all worked up over futile secondary things. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, I'm going to put my death in God's hands. If he can bring all things to his glorious conclusion, he can also bring Carl and he can bring you into heaven for all of eternity. Praise be to God. And thirdly, his values are based on God's word. Note how he describes it in verse 24. In verse 23, the last part of the verse, the living and enduring word of God. And in 25, the word of the Lord endures forever. Is your life falling apart? Then base it on things that will not fall apart. Does life feel like it's sand sifting through our fingers? Does it feel like we're nothing more than a snowflake blowing in central Iowa in a mid-February blizzard? God's in control. Jesus has redeemed us through his death and resurrection. God's word is living and enduring and stands forever. Peter based his values, he based his perspective, he based his life and death and eternity on these things. And I have. And I've never regretted it. And if you haven't, we invite you to do so today. Some simple applications. I trust they are helpful. First of all, let's develop a vibrant faith in our Lord. If externals and finances and other people and cultural glory will ultimately leave us empty with nothing eternal, then instead in verse 21 it says, through Christ you believe in God. God raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him. So put your faith and hope and life and death and eternity in the hands of the Lord. Stake your future on him. Find purpose and meaning and significance in Christ. John 10:10 says, and these are the words of Jesus himself, I have come that you might have life to the full. Carl, I have come that you might have life abundantly. I can't imagine a fuller life than my life in Christ. I can't imagine a more abundant life than my life in ministry in Christ. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and it will be in me. The abundant, fulfilling life. And let's develop a secure confidence in the Lord. Peter in verse 17 calls God Father. He says he's the sovereign one in control in verse 20. Verse 21, he says he raised Jesus from the dead. Friends, let's find our security and base our values, our life's perspective, secure on the foundation as we find it in Jesus. And thirdly, develop a reverent lifestyle. Verse 17 again says, you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially. Live in reverent fear. Most of you are aware that Amy, as the patient, and I, as her husband, spent last weekend in hospitals. Friday night in a hospital close by in West Des Moines, later in the night in a downtown hospital. And when we came at about 9 o'clock Friday night, they were unbelievably busy, but by 2 and 3 in the morning, they had more time on their hands. Things quieted down, and so we could just converse casually with them. Questions like, why did you get in the medical profession? Do you usually work weekends? Do you usually work the emergency room, the triage room? And one of the questions Amy sometimes would ask is, what do you find difficult about the medical profession? And repeatedly, the answer here and downtown was disrespect, disrespect, disrespect. And they said, you just ask the police department. You just ask the EMTs. You just ask anybody in education. You just ask anybody working in politics. They'll give you often the same answer. Friends, for 2,000 years we've had the answer to what the police department and the education system and our politicians and our medical professions, everybody in the education field, we know what is needed. For 2,000 years the answer's been before us. A good, healthy dose of biblical, reverent, Christ-like love and reverence. And fourth application is let's develop fervent relationships. Verse 22, again at the last part of the verse, says you have a sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Westview Church is soon to enter into a congregational meeting. You'll be the 14th church of our classes to vote on transferring to a different denomination. And the guidelines for a church to transfer to a different denomination requires that someone from classes, and especially an elder, attend every governing board or administrative board or consistory meeting, whatever the leadership team is called, and attend their congregational meetings. And one of the questions, Steve Landheis is here with his lovely wife Connie. Steve has been to many a consistory, ad board, governing board meeting and congregational meeting. And Connie, thank you for usually joining him in that. And one of the questions that Steve or Andy or Lois and I would ask of the governing board, there were a couple of questions, but we would often ask, what brought you to this church and what keeps you coming back? What brought you to this church and what keeps you coming back? And the overwhelming answer to all 14 consistories or ad boards or governing boards, relationships, relationships, relationships. It's a place where I can grow in my relationship with a redemptive Jesus. It's a place where I relate and people relate with me and I feel loved and cared for. People come alongside. And it is a place where I can relate and use my gifts to further advance the kingdom of Christ. Relationships, relationships, relationships. In conclusion, friends, we have our work cut out for us, don't we? But with the empowering Holy Spirit, we can love one another sincerely. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you for nudging us concerning our own values and the values of the world around us. Please, Holy Spirit, grant us growth in setting aside the values of the world that quickly we chase after. Holy Spirit, please empower us to build our lives and values on Jesus. Jesus, lead and guide us. Show the way. Empower us. Holy Spirit, lead and guide this congregation as they now enter into a congregational meeting and vote on transferring out of the RCA into the sending network. Enable this church family always to be guided by Jesus, the mission and purpose you've given to them. Holy Spirit, the values upon which they stake their lives and their ministries. And Holy Spirit, the vision that you have given to them. Empower and bless and lead us forward. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.